Welcome, arrivals at the age of majority, to the 147th episode of the Nerd Extravaganza podcast, where our episode themes are as timeless as our guests are talented. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Cam.
And this week, we are pleased to welcome our multi-talented, multifaceted, and presumably multi-limbed special guest, Allison Hayslip. Welcome.
I am multi-limbed. Yay!
Yay for limbs.
Woo-hoo! Did you say this was your 137th episode?
47.
Wow, that's impressive, guys.
Thanks, yeah. We enjoy beating our head against a wall. No. It's a fun time, as I hope you will agree by the end of this episode. So thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for being here. Profuse thanks all around.
Yay!
Well, with the welcome now out of the way, we will basically roll into tonight's episode in our traditional fashion, which is our weekly geekly, geekly weekly update, so-called because we couldn't decide if we wanted it to be the weekly geekly update or the geekly weekly update, and me being a child of divorce, I chose both. So, feel free to chime in. We will have Brian and Chris lead the way to show you how it's done, as it were, and then you are more than welcome to chime in with all the exciting happenings in your life this week as well, Allison. So, Brian, take it away, sir.
The highlight of my week has been the success of our Tuesday nights. People may have heard of us go on and on about our Thursday night gaming at the Adventure Game Store. We recently spread out into a second night because we had spillage. We were overflowing the store. And I kind of thought Tuesdays would be like kind of chill at first, but apparently a lot of people couldn't make Thursdays that wanted to. So we had about, I think, 15 people last night.
Awesome.
Yeah, we host regular gaming events. We are sort of, would you guys say that we're the pivot point for the entire community in our region? Or is that a bit much?
For sure.
Oh, wow. That's a title, you guys.
Thank you.
We should make a banner.
Yes.
What game are you guys playing?
I'm actually thrilled to see Star Wars X-Wing finally taking off, because that was the original impetus, and it just never happened. So we usually do, you know, whatever tabletop, Avalon, Coup, Battlestar Galactica. We did Battle of Westeros for a while. And now finally that enough people are showing up, a small enough portion of them are interested in X-Wing to actually play.
It's awesome. Do you only play tabletop games based on massive movie franchises?
No. we play tons. Those are just some of the ones, I guess, like that are more popular.
It's a foot in the door.
Yeah.
You can be Khaleesi.
The gateway drug.
Yeah. The first one's free.
We might lean towards massive Kickstarters than we do franchises.
Right.
Actually, that's a fair statement, Chris. Yeah, yeah. We're all about, what is it, crowdfunding?
Yeah, indie gamers.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you guys check out that Kickstarter that was Exploding Kittens?
Oh, yes.
Did we ever?
As a matter of fact, some of us are recording a 60-second video on Sunday to be a playtest location.
Oh, really?
For them. Yeah, this Sunday we're doing it.
I kind of know one of the guys involved in that thing.
Really?
Yeah, he's, and I say kind of because he's basically on like an email group that I belong with where a bunch of us nerdy people just email each other throughout the day, random stuff. And so he's one of the people on this list. I don't think I've ever actually met him in person. But when that whole thing was blowing up, we were shooting emails back and forth about it. And he was like, I'm losing my mind. Like, they tried to raise what, like $10,000 or something like that?
Yeah.
And they raised $5 million or something insane. And he was like, we don't even know what we're doing anymore. Like, they had a printer who was ready to print X amount of card sets. And now the order's like 100 times more. So,
yeah, you gotta go to China for that kind of bulk, yeah. I think. Wow. Does he work for the oatmeal or is he just involved?
No, he was more on the gaming end of it. Gotcha. As opposed to the guy who designed it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. He's on the gameplay end, I should say.
Well, let him know to look for our video because where we game is right next door to a surplus pet store. And
Really?
Yeah, we'll be employing kittens.
Well, make sure you send me your video when you're done shooting it and I can pass it his way.
Okay, I just backed this into a corner with my BS.
Too funny.
The animal hospital is not going to be happy, Tom.
No.
Indeed not. And nor will I. I thought of a literal exploding kitten as appalling. What's wrong with you people? Let's see. So, Brian, does that conclude your update, sir?
That does.
All right, Chris, show another shiny example of how to do this.
Oh, well, more on just being geeking out on something than doing a geeky thing, I went to a new coffee shop called The Alchemist, where they do their coffee in a really kind of cool way. They put it on a hot plate, then they put two interconnected beakers together, and the boiling water kind of pushes the coffee up into where the beans are in this huge kind of like, it's like 2 feet tall apparatus to watch as you do it. And then even better yet, when you ask for iced coffee, the ice cubes are also coffee. So your iced coffee never gets watered down. It's just pure iced coffee goodness all the way to the bottom of the cup.
That's cool.
Mind is
blown.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. The sandwiches, I mean, I'm a tall guy with a healthy appetite, so the sandwiches are just a little too small for me.
Too delicate. But,
yeah, little. They had a kind of cool idea. They had like a slice of tree trunk as their plate with a paper plate on top for sanitary reasons. So they're kind of very eco-friendly. You get to eat outside. I'm not making this up, guys. I'm not making it up.
You don't want to eat off of a tree?
Yeah, man.
Hey, I've come close. I've done palm leaves, but no, not a whole actual tree.
Yeah. It seems like they should go full paleo if they're going to just serve you something out of, like, we found this animal outside in a state of near death, so now you're eating it.
And here's a club. Go for it.
Brutal. Ow. How interesting. So were the baristas wearing, like, steampunk goggles and that sort of thing, or no?
Yeah. I wish. No, they were usually wearing the usual, you know, black t-shirt with black do-rag and glasses and the, where is your, oh, there's your apron because it's black, too. Though they do have kind of a cool alchemy symbol on it.
Oh, interesting. I'll look for my invite because I'm slightly pissed you didn't invite me along, but that's all right.
Oh, well, next time I'll give you a buzz.
Please do. Please do.
You guys are in Florida, right?
We are.
South Florida.
Oh. Who thought Florida would get so fancy?
Right? Yeah.
I know.
Eating off trees.
Oh, man.
Chris, anything else, sir?
No, that's it for being a geek.
It's kind of a highlight. All right. So, Allison, did you kind of get the gist of it?
Yes.
Having gotten that gist, would you care to share anything you've been up to?
Well, last week I got to host the International Mobile Gaming Awards up at, GDC was in San Francisco last week. So I flew up there for literally 6 hours and hosted this award ceremony. And it was really awesome because I've noticed definitely over the last year that I'm definitely gaming way more on my iPad than I am on either console. I feel like these small indie games that come out on iPads have way more ingenuity in them than the massive 80-hour games that are coming out, and I've just been attracted to them more lately. So it was really cool to get the opportunity to host an award ceremony that celebrated all that. And there were just some amazing games. You know, obviously Monument Valley, like, took all because that's one of the coolest games ever. But, you know, like, Threes obviously got recognized, and what else? I forget. Of course, now I'm completely spacing. all those great games that I can't remember the names of. Have you guys watched the new season of House of Cards?
Not yet.
No, I have not yet.
Guys, it's been out for a whole week. I don't understand why you haven't watched it.
I know.
I may or may not have never watched
House of Cards. Kevin Spacey is actually a really big gamer. And in the first season of House of Cards, he's playing Modern Warfare. It's Call of Duty or Modern Warfare, you know, one of those two. And he uses that as like a stress relief type deal. Mm. And then in this new season, he's playing Monument Valley, which is incredible that like they would get a game that was that unique and was like such a tech. It's like a small game, you know, it's only maybe an hour and a half of gameplay at most. But not only do they have a lot of shots of him playing it in the show, it becomes a plot point at some part of the show. And it's just incredible seeing that like mobile games are having this kind of impact. So I just thought that was really cool last week, what I got to do.
No, that is awesome, Allison. And we've done like episodes on the impact of like mobile devices and indie games on consoles, and are people migrating from the consoles to the handheld devices, or is there room for both? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's not coffee frozen into ice cubes, but
what is, cool. Right?
Do you think mobile gaming is basically going to replace or take a massive chunk out of the traditional gaming market?
I don't think it'll ever replace it. I really believe that what mobile gaming is going to do is get more people to realize that they're gamers. You know, I think it sort of relieves the quote unquote burden of having to own a separate gaming system.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people who would play games are like, well, I don't want to go out and buy a console. I don't want to have a system that's just for gaming. But they already have an iPad or something like that for all the other uses. So people will like start gaming more on that. And then I would hope they would upgrade to, I don't want to say upgrade because it's a totally different type of thing, but they would also get a console because gaming is now more of a part of their life. But I just really believe that the games you can make in the mobile platform, there's just more room for creativity and exploration and stuff like that, which I hope would spread over into console games. You know, like one of my favorite games that I've played on a PlayStation is Journey, and that's a downloadable game. Mm-hmm. That's not even a disc game because it's so clever and it's so beautiful and it's so fun to play. And I feel like mobile games sort of reflect that, and I would love more of that to get progressed into actual console games.
That's an interesting point of view. I hope you'll agree. I think it has a lot to do with the fact that the mobile games being from a smaller development teams are not as constrained by massive budgets as sort of...
Yeah, absolutely. Although it's funny because I know a lot of people who work in the mobile gaming business, and it's like a lot of people make these smaller games in the hopes that they can then go and make a console game. It's the same thing like people like YouTube stars who make web videos in the hopes that they can make TV shows, but it just doesn't always translate the same way. Like, I want mobile gaming to stay mobile gaming.
I agree. Yeah, I'd hate to see the format lose its soul in the quest to become big budget and console based, but interesting. Well, Allison, that sounds like a pretty full week. Anything else to report?
I mean, you guys, I hosted a video game show and I finished House of Cards. What else do you want from me?
No, that's that is a very full week. Awesome. Then we will pass the baton over to you, Cam.
I'd like to point out, while I can, that was the first Geekly this week without animal abuse in it.
Oh.
Wow. All right, so my week was pretty tame. Did our weekly game nights at the Adventure Game Store, played some fun tabletop games, broke out some of the old standards, played some new games. Let's see, I've been consumed, speaking of handheld games, I've been consumed by this stupid little game that I downloaded called Lastronaut. Have any of you guys played that?
No, but it sounds awesome.
It is so awesome. It is like, do you guys remember the Impossible game?
Oh, where
you're just like the little square and you're just like bouncing
oh,
and just
trying to keep
going. It's very similar to that. You don't stop. You don't control. The only control you have is jump and shoot. And basically the story is like Terminator-esque. The machines take over. They realize that they're slaves to humanity. They start a war against humanity. Mankind leaves Earth. But there has to be a last ship, and that's the Lastronaut. And so he's got to run to the last shuttle and escape Earth. And I literally have been just going crazy trying to get as far as I can on this game. So that has been fun. Trivia Crack, like always, has been killing me and really cutting down on my work production. And that's about it for me.
Very concise and to the point, sir.
Trying to keep it moving.
Okay, here I go. Here's mine. Here comes rapid fire. Brace yourselves. Skype storm coming at you. I went and saw the movie Chappie, which is about a talking robot.
Oh my god, don't tell me anything. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, there's no talking robot, and I don't know what the movie's about. But as little as I know about the movie, it inspired me to replace my broken Roomba, and I am getting a new vacuuming robot called a Neato. Neato, N-E-A-T-O, which will be my friend in the house. Yeah, every time I vacuum. It'll make cleaning a social experience.
Did you guys see that there is a woman who almost got killed by a Roomba?
Wow.
Yeah. I think in Japan, she was taking... You know in Japan how they sleep on mats on the floor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those, like, bamboo mats. She was taking a nap in the middle of the day, and the Roomba started up and sucked up her hair and wouldn't let go. And, like, cops had to come and rescue her from her Roomba.
That's awful.
Yeah, that's... We should sell that as, like, the Ring 5. That's an awesome premise.
I immediately regret my decision to buy a vacuuming robot. Oh well. Finally, assuming my robot doesn't kill me before then, as we mentioned, we are in Florida. Florida is home to the Walt Disney World Entertainment Complex, and I will be attending an event there called Dapper Day, where you are invited to dress up as a dapper individual and enjoy the festivities in the parks.
They have that here in LA, too. Well, Anaheim.
Yes, they do. They do. And I think may have originated it. Come on, we know that the Anaheim Disneyland people, you know, they're the first and best at everything. Just no, no. Oh, excellent.
Not doing it.
So, wait, you're not a LA bigot?
No, well, what? I mean, look, I'm from New Jersey. I grew up going to Disney World.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I knew there was a reason we liked you. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, Disneyland is awesome. I won't knock it. But it's mainly awesome because you're capable of going there for like a day and then going home.
Right, right.
Disney World, I mean, you guys can probably go for a day and go home, but like Disney World for me was like you plan a week of your life and you like stay in the hotels and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
You can't just like wake up one morning and be like, oh, I'm just going to Disney World. Wow, I kind of sounded like Mickey Mouse when I said that.
You really
did. That was a pretty good impression.
I wasn't even trying. That was
amazing. You can add that to your repertoire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, my comment upon leaving Disneyland for the first time was, what an adorable prototype. And that wasn't taken very well. But anyway, I'll be attending Dapper Day at the real Disney. And the only conditions under which I would agree to go is if I could dress up in Figment colors. Does everybody know who Figment is?
Of course. The dragon. He's purple and pink.
Yes. And I will be sporting some bright orange pants, a purple shirt, and a pink tie.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's going on the website for sure.
God, is it ever. I'm so sorry to say. So that's it for me. I'm going to be killed by a robot after I get back from Dapper Day.
Yes.
And that brings us to news. Basically, Allison, this is a segment wherein our intrepid reporters, Brian, Chris, and Cam, go out into the field, wherever that is, and come back with news. I find the news depressing. So
is going out into the field mean like Googling?
Yes,
pretty much. Yeah.
the very same field wherein we're having this conversation. So yes,
right.
They go out into the internet and they bring back news and I ooh and ah and comment. You're welcome to either report on any burning news of the day when your turn comes around or just ooh and ah along with me.
Okay.
I think we're already behind the eight ball because that story about the woman getting eaten by the Roomba. I don't know how we're going to top that.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? We will count that as the so far number one contribution to the news segment.
Absolutely.
So Brian, try to top somebody getting consumed by their vacuum robot, remembering that your friend is going to die soon at the hands of his own.
Yes.
Well, it may not help you, but it's good news for the rest of us. NASA's Kepler has discovered a Earth-like planet in the habitable zone of a not-so-distant star.
Hmm.
Wow. Maybe I'll be the Lastronaut.
Yeah.
Ba-dum-boom.
Sorry, that was horrible.
Oh, so, man.
Do you think my Roomba and I could find space to cohabitate on this new planet?
I think your Roomba killing you on the starship to the new planet would be a great Ring Six.
Make that's it a reality show.
We that there might be other life forms out there, or is it just a planet we can go to for when we destroy ours?
I think it depends on how pessimistic you are. I'd like to believe there's other life forms. That'd be great.
Isn't that Stephen Hawking who said, like, either there's other life out there or there's not, and either way, that's incredible. I mean, I totally just butchered that quote, but you get what I'm saying, right?
Totally. And I think he also said, if there is, we don't want to meet them because it probably won't work out too well for us. Like, look what happened to the Native Americans. Yeah.
Look at what happened in Independence Day. That was not only my least favorite movie on Earth, but...
Wait, that's your least favorite movie on Earth?
Yeah.
This is a running...
I don't know how we're friends.
Yeah, Allison.
Who doesn't like that movie?
I don't. For reasons I can't understand. Dan, it just offends me at every level. I don't know why I hate that movie so much. I just do.
Oh, it's a Bill theme. Pullman's most epic moment besides Newsies.
Listen, and I, you throw Pullman at me, and it's like a guaranteed like under almost all other circumstances. But I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, not even Jeff Goldblum could pull that one out for me. It was terrible. Yeah. So, right, Independence Day, the like or dislike of the movie aside, it ended badly for us almost. So almost. We might win.
Truth.
But Quaid saved us.
Oh, God, please don't remind me of that. Oh, man.
It wasn't Brent Spiner in that movie, too?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. He was a scientist.
Yep.
Yes.
It had all the elements of something I should love and just didn't come together.
Oh, man.
Wait, somebody reporting on news. Was that you, Brian? Sorry.
Yes.
Sidetrack.
And closer to home, actually very close to home for most of us, the largest mall in the nation has been announced for Miami, which really gives me hope for that other planet.
Yeah. Where are they going to build it? I mean, there's a... On the old Orange Bowl site? Or
No, they already have a stadium there. There's no land here for that.
Wait, so it's going to be bigger than Mall of America?
Yeah. Yep.
That's what they're saying.
Whoa, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, considering we're going to be underwater in 50 years, I don't know, that's a good investment anyway.
This may actually be what finally breaks the
the water
support.
Table.
Yeah.
So it's larger than the Mall of America?
Yes, it is. It will be.
Like Mauler of America? Like, what are they calling this thing?
Mauler of America.
Oh, well, exciting. I can't wait for a new shopping mall. We definitely don't have enough of those around here.
Guys, I'm from Jersey. I grew up in shopping.
I'm sure you did.
Short Hills Mall, my favorite.
Oh, what? You know Short Hills?
I lived in Jersey for a couple of years. The first 2 years of my career, I lived in Jersey.
I got my prom dress senior year from Short Hills Mall. Oh, junior year, I got it from Short Hills.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you have big hair when you lived in Jersey?
No.
Oh, man. Ruining it for me.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, guys. Spell.
Killed it for me. Okay. Brian, does that horrifying piece of news at the end conclude
you? Yes, that's enough.
Thank you. I don't know if I can take any more. Chris, go.
Well, actually, I have more horrifying news for you.
Oh, God.
Cards Against Humanity now has a free online game for you.
What's it called?
Cards Against the Internet.
Cards Against the Field.
You know, I just had it on the tip of my tongue and then it died.
That actually surprises me because of how closely they hold their IP. You know, they only sell on Amazon. They don't sell really retail. It surprised me that they would come out with a free app.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they really hold on tight.
You might have a new winner on your hands at next year's show, I'm thinking, Allison.
Oh, yeah, the online version of this.
Yes,
you guys,
yes,
I'm
yes.
really good at Cards Against Humanity.
Are you?
Yeah. I did, Felicia Day had a, not telethon, because it was online, an internet-a-thon, I guess, last week. She did 48 hours live streaming on Twitch to raise money for lupus research. And when I went on for 2 hours, all we did was play Cards Against Humanity, and I kicked serious ass.
Nice.
Oh, I got the name for you. It is Cards Against Originality.
Okay.
Less cool than Allison's ass kicking, but
I guess
distinguishes it from the card game.
And then I just want to add a clarification to my geeky wiki. When I said a sawed off tree trunk, I meant like a slice of a tree trunk, like maybe an inch or two
as
your plate. Because I suddenly realized everybody thought I was okay.
We didn't think they were placing a stump in front of you. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Just tell me it was an endangered tree species of some sort, and I'll think you're edgy again. The last of the Florida cypress. Enjoy.
Yeah, right.
Makaluka tree would be much nicer.
Date pine.
Are you kidding? That would be bulletproof. That would be ridiculous.
Chris, yes. The virtues of various woods aside.
Yes.
Does that conclude your news?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Allison, as we mentioned, you already reported on some news. Is that going to be your contender?
Can I bring something up and ask your guys' opinion on it?
Yes.
Always.
Okay, I was sort of shocked by the Apple Watch, iWatch, or whatever it's going to be. $10,000?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it could be as high as 17 or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, that's insane. That's ridiculous. And then I realized that some people, like men especially, pay that much for a watch, a regular watch. So,
yes.
Like, what do you guys think? Do you think people are actually going to buy a $17,000 Apple Watch?
Yes.
I am sure of
Yeah,
it.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Man.
Yeah.
Isn't the fashion code that the uglier the watch, the more expensive it is, the better you want to get it, or the more you want to get it?
I've never worn a watch in my life, so I have no idea.
I do not understand how watches exist in the days of cell phones. I mean,
yeah.
You carry a supercomputer in your pocket. What do you need, like, a timepiece on your wrist for?
It's just a statement. Yeah.
Well, we've come full circle. You know, there was a time when people carried pocket watches, and then that evolved into the wristwatch. Now we carry the pocket watch in the form of a phone, and now that's going to go right back onto your wrist again.
Whoa!
Ah.
Blew my mind.
Yes, thank you. And I'm going to keep my dapper clothes because from wristwatch to pocket watch to wrist watch will then lead to eye close and all sorts of other interesting things.
Maybe Google Glass will produce a monocle.
Ooh, please. And a cane that does something.
Yes.
That would be nice.
The giant stylus.
Even better.
Super stylus.
You just ride on the sidewalk with it.
Or just on your wall at your house.
And the backpack is your top hat.
Indeed. Yes, perfect.
Guys, I think we have it all figured out.
I think we've solved all things.
Who needs Steve Jobs?
So hopefully our opinions were illuminating, Allison.
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, Cam, you are the last reporter still afield. Have you got anything to share?
Yeah, I'll keep it quick and efficient like my Geekly. Dumbo live-action movie is coming out and will be helmed by Tim Burton. So look for Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter probably to be in that. Sony just sold their 20 millionth game console. And it's actually the fastest they've ever gotten to 20 million out of all of their game consoles, which was shocking to me. Yeah, it was shocking to me. So they basically have lapped Microsoft, who's probably at maybe around 10,000 still holding.
10 million.
I'm sorry, 10 million. Yeah, wow. Just about.
You're thinking of the Japanese market.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit of gross news, I guess, since we're talking about animal cruelty and all that other good stuff. Some enterprising people in Finland have come up with this super hydrophobic paint. And they're painting all the walls in their country with that because what it does is if you decide to urinate publicly, it will bounce off the wall and go on you.
So, I'm rubber, you're glue. When you feel the need, that's
7 6. Exactly. Yes. So if you are into that kind of thing, you might want that. But if not, then I would stay away from peeing on the walls in Finland. And finally, sticking in the same vein of gross things, you guys have all had spaghetti and meatballs, right? We love that. That's a great dish, right?
Yeah,
spaghetti
sure.
Spaghetti and meatballs, old favorite. You know, Allison, I'm sure in Jersey you've had some great spaghetti and meatballs.
Yes, I have.
Well, I guess there in Finland, they take it very seriously. They take meat very seriously. And they have instructed one retailer to remove the word meat from their packages of meatballs because they're the meat that is in those meatballs is not up to their dietary standards. It's just basically hooves and lips like hot dogs. And so they're basically saying, look, you can't even call this meat because it doesn't even rise to the level of meat. So now you've got to just call them balls. So
spaghetti and balls.
Yeah. So now if you're going to dinner in Finland, look for spaghetti and balls on the menu.
Aww.
And that rounds out my news.
That's disgusting.
Rounds out.
Rounds out. Very good.
Just in case you guys didn't get that the first
time. Just like balls.
You call this meat? It's not meat. Boy. If I pee on it, it bounces off. That's not meat. Gross.
The word they used is mechanically recovered bits of meat. Don't rise to the...
Come on. Come on. All right. I'm utterly disgusted at this point. Can we move on?
Yes. Let's do.
All right. I'm going to suppress the gag reaction. Okay. On to the episode. And now, Allison, this is where we get into the real meat, not balls and potatoes. Tonight's agreed upon topic, as I hope you will concur, is how awesome it is to be an adult geek. And that can be versus what it was like to be maybe a geeky kid who didn't have the disposable income, the freedom to do whatever you want, and a very hospitable geek culture in which to explore whatever you fancy, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So I guess you being our guest and somewhat of an authority on matters, or so we've been told, we thought we would let you run with that for a bit and take the floor.
Well then, you know, it's interesting. Like, I think it's obviously easy for me to say it's awesome being an adult geek because I've basically had a career because of that. You know, I wouldn't have been working on G4 if that wasn't stuff I actually cared about and was into. Because it wasn't like I moved to LA to try to be a host. I'm an actor. I was out here acting, but I know so much about geeky stuff that network kind of scooped me up and made me a host. So there's definitely an ease to that. But I also think about, like, when I was a kid growing up, I felt like I could be into all this random weird stuff and no one really questioned me about it, but that's because I was just a weird kid. And I sort of just always accepted the fact that I was a weird kid, and so everyone just let me be the weird kid, so there was nothing bizarre about what I was into. And, you know, when I'm an adult, obviously the vast majority of the people I know are geeks as well and in this geeky culture, but, like, I obviously have friends who aren't and who don't understand this stuff at all, and it's a little harder as an adult being perceived as weird, you know?
You sort of
feel like, you know, I have friends who are like, wait, I'm sorry, what is Doctor Who? And that you explain it to them and you can see their brains going, why would you be interested in that? So maybe it's just all that insecurity that comes up from childhood. But when you're an adult and being seen as, like, you know, off the beaten path a little, there's something that hits you a little harder than when you were a kid, or at least for me.
I see your point. Yeah, like, you're supposed to know better now, right? You're supposed to know how to act.
Yes. Yeah. Being said, being an adult, you get to make your own choices. And you're right. We're in a culture now where, like, geek culture is much more in line with pop culture these days. So it's not totally ridiculous to be into this stuff. But I still feel like, I guess I'm just always going to feel like the kid who never fit in. So when it's brought up to me as an adult, it just gives me that anxiety again.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the culture, at least being focused where it is right now, like, buffers it a little bit, and maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I in the back of my mind, I'm wondering when the jocks are going to come regulate.
Well, I mean, I thankfully don't have that fear, but it's more just like, you know, I think we all innately, like, want to fit in somehow, and even as an adult, when you don't, there's still that part of you that's like, oh, why don't I fit in right now?
I totally get what you're saying, Allison. And especially in terms of, like, meeting new people or dating or whatever it is, it's like almost like you're, like, disclosing, like, sort of like a shameful thing. Like, I like long walks on the beach, candlelight dinners, and oh, by the way, I'm a co-host on a podcast called Nerd Extravaganza, and I tabletop game 3 nights a week. I video game probably 4 days a week, and I watch Doctor Who pretty much every day. Right. And then they're like, they look at you like you have 3 heads. So it's like, I totally get what you're saying.
I mean, look, I wouldn't trade it. That's for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Like, there's no part of me that's, like, ashamed of who I am. I just think it's weird as an adult that those childhood anxieties still stick with you.
Yeah, a lot of what gets laid down in childhood is definitely hard to shake as an adult. No question. Yeah. Well,
I was going to say, Allison, what got you into being a geek when you were a kid? Or, you know, what sort of was your influence?
Well, oh gosh, both my parents are, really. So watching Star Trek was a regular thing in our house. And, I mean, I started gaming because my parents had an Atari 2600 in our basement.
Nice.
And it was like, as soon as I was old enough to learn how to move a joystick and push an orange button, I was playing the Atari. And my mom was super into Lord of the Rings. So as soon as I was old enough to read, I was reading, I was reading Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit and all that. I actually took Philosophy of Tolkien in college, if you want to know how freaking nerdy I am.
Wow.
it was really just like growing up with my parents. And then my brother got into the same stuff, and we're 3.5 years apart. So we were far enough apart where we didn't have to be best friends, but we were close enough that we could relate with each other a lot. And so we would get into this stuff together, and that sort of kept us in it as well.
So when you say you were the weird kid, you don't mean you were the weird kid in your family. You were the weird kid at school.
Oh yeah. I was the weird kid at school, but I was also like, I don't want to sound like I was a total outcast. I was that girl who everyone liked and got along with. I just didn't have a group. If that makes sense. And it was like every group like would have me around, but I always felt like the weird kid in the group. So I never felt like I had my people, you know?
Right. You didn't wear the uniform. You didn't wear the Iron Maiden shirt, let's say, to fit in with that crowd.
Right. But I don't want to, like, I thankfully was, like, never bullied about it or made to feel ashamed about everything. It was just like, oh, Allison's fun and she's funny and she's enjoyable to have around, but, like, wow, she really likes Star Trek, you know? That was kind of the feeling.
Her commitment to hip-hop is just not where we need it to be to bring her into our group.
Yeah. Right.
No, that's totally identify with that as well. I was on the football team, so I was friends with the jocks or whatever, but I also had my little D&D group where we, you know, played, you know, sat there with, you know, rolling D20s all night, you know, it's so,
wow,
it's limbo. Yeah.
So Cam, you were the Vin Diesel of, at your high school then.
The Vin Diesel? Is he a big gamer?
Yeah. Oh, you don't know?
I didn't know, no.
Oh, no, he has like a whole D&D group. I think his DM helped him write a little bit on the on his, oh, brain's fried. You know, his Pitch Black series.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very cool. I didn't realize Mr. Diesel was so varied in interest.
He's a big gamer. Whenever we interviewed him at G4. Yeah.
Very cool.
I knew that. I knew all that. I was just keeping quiet.
Gold star.
I knew that too, guys. Totally knew that.
In the know on this side of the table.
Of course, my physique is just like his, too, so, you know.
Yeah, you and me both. Hey, Allison, can I bounce this off of you? This is something that came up last week. Was it last week, guys, where the head transplant came up in the news, or the week before?
I believe it was either last week or the week before, yeah.
Head transplant?
Yes.
Yeah, that was my news bit. That was my news bit.
Evidently, there is a doctor in Italy who is claiming that he can do a, not head, but rather, was it a brain transplant or a whole head, guys?
It was a whole head.
Okay, yeah. Even better. So
what?
Yeah.
Futurama style.
My thinking was, rather than go to the trouble of eating right and going to the gym, I could just sort of exhaust this body and just kind of, like, I don't know, get transferred into a better physique at some point. What do you think about that as a... fitness strategy.
I mean, genius, but I don't even understand. Once you have to take out the entire spinal cord, like, what?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't speak Italian, but the guy claims he can do it.
Or maybe it's like Face Off, like the movie.
Oh my gosh. I watched that movie for the first time, or not the first time. I rewatched that movie recently, and I forgot how terribly awesome it is.
Nick Cage and John Travolta, how can you go wrong? I mean... what a mashup.
Best concept. Over actors ever.
Throwing Shatner and you get the trifecta.
Don't you have to be careful about stating these truths publicly, given your industry?
She don't care. She does what she wants, right, Allison?
You guys, I don't think I'm ever going to work with John Travolta or Nick Cage.
You say that, but they might be
in famous the last and words.
To be fair, if I do, I don't think they're going to have listened to this podcast.
Exactly.
So.
Point well taken.
Wow,
I'm wounded.
That was a too far.
Sorry, guys.
Point well taken.
But hey, now you know if I do, you can blackmail me.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, remember this little gem from your past? I'm sure Nick would love to hear about this.
You know what's so funny? When I did 4 points with Alex Albrecht, we had Bria Grant on our show. And people gave Alex so much crap because, like, 3 or 4 years earlier, whenever Heroes was on and whenever she was on Heroes, I guess Alex on TRL, not TRL, that's Total Request Live. That's Carson Daly. Was the show that Alex used to host? Dignation. On Dignation, okay. I guess when Bria was on the show, Alex had made a comment that, like, he didn't understand her character, or, like, what the point of her being on that, what her character's point was of being on that show. And then here it is 3 or 4 years later, and she's a guest on mine and Alex's show. And people gave him so much crap because he was like, they were like, oh man, you didn't even like her when she was on Heroes, and now you're like being all cool to her on your show, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh my gosh. You guys, we can have opinions about characters or people and have them change. Like, you know, it was just the fact that people remembered that 3 years earlier and they gave him so much shit for it.
Well, we are orders of magnitude less visible.
Yeah, I don't think you have much to worry about.
Just wait until I tweet this out, you guys.
Oh, no, no. The spotlight will shine on us. And like roaches, we'll scurry into the darkness. Okay, well, you know, you answered a question we were kind of kicking around before the show about yourself, which is that your parents sort of fostered in you your sort of nerdy, geeky tendencies. And
yes.
That was surprising because I think, Brian, wasn't it your contention that most people probably, you know, going far enough back, didn't have parents who were into that sort of thing?
From my own experience, there has never been a bigger blacker sheep than me. No one in my family gets me in the least.
Aw, man. That bums me out.
Yeah, makes me sad.
In my family, it kind of evolved over time. I was the motormouth black sheep, and then over the decades, even the redneck uncle who just didn't know what to do with me finally came over and started talking to me about all these cool TV shows he now watches. So over time it changed, but yeah, back in the day, it was, you know, on the farm, nobody had any idea what to do with me or all these things I was into.
And now your uncle's neck has lightened to a normal flesh tone.
Yes.
You helped him.
Oh, good job, Chris.
Yeah, yeah. Well, guys, while we have Allison captive here on our show, any other questions or topics you want to bring up? Or Allison, for that matter, anything that you would like to bring up?
I mean, you guys kind of answered my Apple Watch question. That's the only thing that's been burning on my mind.
So, Allison, I was curious to know what you would tell yourself as a young geeky outcast with the benefit of all the knowledge you have now as an adult. You know, what if you could jump in a TARDIS and go back and talk to yourself as a kid, what would you tell yourself?
Well, you know what's interesting? Did you guys watch the Oscars? The guy who won for, oh gosh, now I'm a jerk because I can't remember. He's a screenwriter who I think he wrote The Imitation Game, but he got up and he gave a speech about how when he was growing up, he just felt like he never fit in and he was so weird. And he actually like attempted suicide at one point. And now he's like, looking back, I wish I could have just told myself, like, embrace the weird. And he's like, that's why I say that to, or I say that to all the kids out there now, like, stay weird. Like, that's, he said that, and I was like, God, I wish that's what I had said to myself when I was young, too, you know? Like, don't worry about it. Be weird, and be who you are, because that's way more interesting than anything else.
Awesome. That is great advice, actually.
Yeah, very, very well stated, and couldn't agree more.
I've always felt blessed. My parents may not have understood me, but they did accept. And, you know, I never felt like it was wrong to be weird.
Yeah, I'll say that in favor of my parents, too. My mother was the lead female in our pack and often would let me sup on a freshly killed deer as I grew up in the forest.
You're just a wildling.
Yeah, I was raised by wolves is what I'm trying to say. Come on.
You grew up with your wolf family.
Yes, don't leave me hanging out here.
Oh, God.
But yeah, I think parental acceptance is a good thing, Brian. I'm glad. That's why you're so well-adjusted, sir.
Must be. And I was going to say, just sort of jump piggybacking off of that, Allison. By the way, I love Allie. I love Allie minus 20
on your Twitter.
It's awesome. So where do you see yourself and geek culture and your, I guess, role in geek culture in 20 years from now?
Oh my gosh, 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I just kind of think that like 20 years from now, I don't know if there's going to be a thing called geek culture. You know, I feel like I said, I feel like geek culture is lining up so much with pop culture that these days that it's just going to be like being into sci-fi or fantasy or that kind of stuff is going to be commonplace. Even the way, like I was saying before, like how mobile gaming is making more people gamers. I think that people will be gamers. Like it won't be such a stigma anymore. So I don't know what my place would be in that society. I mean, hopefully I'll just be known as someone who left a good mark in a growing industry.
How do you feel about being tomorrow's Katie Couric?
What?
the nerdy Katie Couric?
I mean, like Katie Couric does an amazing Katie Couric. I don't need to be Katie Couric. You know, I always said that if I'm continuing to like be a host and be this and do this kind of career, I would love something like John Oliver's show.
Okay. Okay.
Last week's yes. night. You know?
He's awesome.
Like
man.
Something that's like so his personality and it's just it's a very lighthearted show. And yet at the same time gets people to think
right.
Like that to me is appealing.
I should have stated that differently. I meant in terms of stature and place in this new tomorrow we're imagining, not necessarily you're stepping into her role per se, but I could see you going in the John Oliver direction. Honestly, that would be awesome.
What? That would be fun.
Can we be your guests? Can we come on?
Yes, absolutely. That would be awesome. It would be really cool to like bring on every person whose podcast I've been on onto my show.
And this is proof some people are better suited for audio.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure we will provide quite the rating spike.
Soft lights. Only soft lights on me.
Yes. Yeah.
And lots of Vaseline on the camera, right?
No, we're actually, we're all quite handsome.
In our own unique way.
Yeah.
Right. Or so our mothers tell us.
Confidence.
This is sort of a little bit off topic, but are you I know you're a huge singer. Do you have any singing, vocal projects in the work?
Oh, well, no, I wouldn't even consider myself a huge singer. I mean, that's the other thing I kind of grew up in. Besides my parents being nerds, they're both musicians.
Right.
So I just grew up in a household where music was everywhere, and we were always singing and, you know, playing instruments. And we're like the Partridge Family when we get together for Christmas. I'm not joking. Like, people bust out guitars and we're singing in like 3-part harmony and that kind of thing. So, you know, doing something vocally, like any sort of music project, is not. It's not something I focus on. I just enjoy doing it.
Gotcha.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed if something came my way, but it's also not something I'm pursuing because it's really just more of a passion of mine that I like doing when the time is right and when the right people come into my life to do stuff like that. But I don't know. Maybe I should focus on it more. I get a lot of good reactions to that kind of stuff that I post on YouTube. So
I love
who
the
knows.
I love the wrecking ball with you and your brother. That was awesome.
Okay, that's not my brother.
I'm sorry.
That's John Bobeck. He and I shot a film together 2 years ago, and just became really great friends on that shoot. And he's an incredible musician. Like, and he's actually a musician. Like, he gigs and plays shows and has albums and all that kind of stuff. And he has a song that's a duet that he wrote with this other girl, and he needed someone to sing it at a show he was playing, and he asked me to do it. And I had so much anxiety because I hadn't sung in public in like years and years and years, and I was like freaking out about it. And it was at Hotel Cafe, which is this like super awesome venue here in LA, and I was like freaking out, but I was like, Allison, do stuff that scares you, you know, that's how you grow as a person. and I did the show with him and had so much fun, and now we just, like, you know, whenever the mood strikes us, we'll get together and work on music and write stuff, and we've played a couple gigs together, and it's really fun. But that Wrecking Ball cover was his idea, and he got the bare bones of it down, and then we sort of just started playing it together and figuring out where it could go, and I love it. It's one of those. I've always been a big proponent of, like, you listen to some pop songs and you think they're terrible, but then if you, like, get them down to the brass tacks of what the song actually is, you realize it's an amazing song. It's just a lot of them are just overly produced or done by bad artists or things like that. And I actually think Miley Cyrus is actually quite a good artist in her own weird, bizarre way. But I felt like Wrecking Ball is a song that you miss how good it is because of all the, like, shit that's put around it.
Right. And the video.
Yeah, and the video. Exactly.
Yeah. But no.
Have you seen the director's cut to that video?
No. Is it even more outrageous?
So no, it's amazing. You know, in video, there's just shots of her, like, close up of her face, and she's crying while she's singing the song.
Yeah.
The director's cut is that in one take. Wow. It is just this close up of her face singing the song, and she's bawling while she's singing it. And it's so much more moving than anything else.
Hmm.
It's like the way the song should have been.
Yeah. Well, I love that you guys did it, like, slow, because, like you said, then you can really focus on the lyrics, which I agree are great. They just get sort of lost in the pop,
right?
Pop beat or whatever.
Right.
Very cool.
Okay, Cam, is that the last of your questions, sir?
I think so. The only other thing I guess I would ask is, where can we see you in the future, Allison? What can we look forward to?
Well, I say always follow my Twitter, Allison Hayslip, and I'm now on Instagram, you guys. I only joined 3 years later than everyone else, but I'm currently on Instagram, also Allison Hayslip. Right now, it's just been, like, the beginning of the year is always pilot season here in LA, so it's, like, auditions, and meetings, and meetings, and meetings. I always say it's the busiest time of the year for me when I make no money. So I have a few things that are, like, hopefully coming through, so nothing I can really talk about yet. I actually had a super awesome meeting today for, if this show goes, you guys will be so stoked. I mean, I would be so stoked. It's awesome. So fingers crossed on that one. But, you know,
absolutely.
You never know. You never know what's going to happen.
You heard it here first, folks. A show that might go, that will excite us. If it happens.
Breaking news.
And if we do hear of a show that we suspect is that show, we will reach out and ask if, in fact, you were alluding to that show. during this show.
Feel free. Yes.
Okay.
get that double confirmation.
And for once, we'll beat Reddit.
Yay.
Oh, Reddit.
She alluded to it here first, damn it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I guess we will offer you the floor, Allison, one last time. If there's anything else you want to say, share, etc., before thank you for being on and letting you get back out into the what I refuse to believe is not wonderful sunshine of Los Angeles. Sunny. Yes.
look, I'm not complaining. Like it's hard to have a bad day in LA because you walk outside and you're like, oh, it's 75 and sunny. Life is so hard.
Yes.
No, just thanks for having me on, guys. This was great. It's always great chatting with people who don't live in LA.
Okay.
You're like, oh, right, people are normal.
We don't take 75 and sunny for granted, because...
No.
That's definitely not the case here, where 75 and humid is more the norm.
Right.
We agree. And what better parting note than a consensus on that true fact? Allison, thank you so much for being on. Thank you for your time. We really appreciate it. I cannot express my level of gratitude sufficiently over the internet.
Yeah, seriously. Thank you guys so much. Awesome. You're amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
We'll
miss you.
We'll miss you too.
Awesome. Have a good day, guys.
All right, guys.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Guys, bye.
Bye.
Okay, guys. Well, I don't think I'm alone when I say that Allison was an awesome guest, and it was great to have her.
Amazing. So she's a legend.
Our 147th and final episode, because it's all downhill from here.
Yeah.
I don't know how we can top that, for sure.
We've reached the peak. We're done. Chris, what do you think? Are you ready to call this thing quits now?
That sounds good to me.
Well, in that case, let's. But before we do, we should encourage listeners to consider reviewing the back catalog of our podcast and any future episodes we might decide to do after all by subscribing to our podcast in iTunes or whatever other podcatching software they happen to use, or if streaming is more to their liking, checking us out using Stitcher.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, add us to your Google circle, and if you want that extra Ganza goodness, join the Nerdstravaganza HQ group on Facebook.
Hey, listeners, slip on over to our website, nerdstravaganza.com, and check out all of our back episodes and other content. Check us out on YouTube just by typing in Nerdstravaganza in that little search box, or do us the favor of sending us a email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
And as a multi-talented and no doubt multi-limbed guest once said,
embrace the weird.
Okay, guys, we're getting a little bit of a Skype storm on our hands. How do
What's
you
a Skype
want...
storm?
Yes, it is. We're in the midst of it. The eye approaches.